I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Today, I'd like to share a story about honesty. Once upon a time, there lived a poor woodcutter named Ram. He lived in a small hut on the outskirts of the village. Ram would go into the forest every day and chop trees for wood. He sold this wood to a rich merchant and earned his livelihood. Though poor, the woodcutter was sincere and honest. One day, while chopping a tree near the river, the axe slipped out of his hand and fell into the river. The river was very deep, and since that was his only axe, he worried. How would he cut wood and earn his livelihood now? He prayed to God for his axe. He prayed so sincerely that God actually appeared. When he asked Ram what the problem was, he told him the whole episode. God then put his hand into the river and took out a silver axe. The woodcutter said it wasn't his. God continued looking and then found a golden axe. The woodcutter refused to accept it too. What good is a golden axe to a poor woodcutter? He needed his iron axe. God finally smiled and pulled out his iron axe. The woodcutter was extremely happy and thanked God for finding his axe. God was very happy with his honesty, so he rewarded him by giving him the silver and the gold axe too. The woodcutter was overwhelmed and jumped with joy. I love this little story, and it's actually more of a bedtime story for children. And I find that so many stories about honesty are geared toward children, and it's to create a foundation that I think sometimes gets forgotten in adulthood. So in this story, I think the first inclination when God starts pulling up the axes is for the woodchopper to just say, yes, thank you, that'll do, for the silver axe. But no, he's adamant that that's not his. The same with the gold axe. Presumably, this woodcutter could have melted the gold and sold it for far more than he made chopping trees. But again, he tells God that's not his axe. And finally, he's elated when God pulls out the iron axe, the cheapest and most inferior of those three axes, but the one that the woodcutter truly needs to do his job. And so I think that there are a few ways one could view this story. The way I see it is that by being honest and waiting until his true axe was found, the woodcutter had integrity. He was honest about what was his. And because of that honesty, he was rewarded threefold. And sometimes I think when people are dishonest, they feel that the reward that they get, that short-term gain, is the greater. That if they told the truth, that the gain wouldn't be as great as this distorted truth that they're telling. Always when I think of honesty, my dear heavenly now friend Marilyn and I would always talk about this, just the importance of honesty and how we only chose to associate with people who were honest. The two of us being, you know, very strong and in our desire to be honest. even when it wasn't comfortable. And, you know, that was typically my principle. However, I did end up spending some time with someone who wasn't an outright liar, but who just distorted things a little bit. Shaded the truth to something that maybe sounded a little better to those who would hear. And I noticed on occasion that this person would do that to others. And what it created, I think, is a distortion that when you're not being honest, you're not sure what you believe. And then those around you are not sure what you believe either. It got to a point where I wasn't sure if the person was telling me what they thought I wanted to hear or what was really true. It creates that duality, that distortion. And so even though the short-term pleasant feelings that might have been created by something that's said is not even felt, because there's always that question, is this true or not? So if a person is always honest, then you have that feeling of authenticity. You know that they're going to tell you even the hard truths. They're going to say things that might make you uncomfortable, but you're okay with that because you know that at least they're telling you how they really feel or what they really think. This is all in the realm of personhood, of course. But that is the one-pointed nature of the truth. There's not any distortion. And that distortion is often felt as confusion. So in my associations with the person, I sometimes felt confused. Are they telling me the truth or not? And it wasn't, you know, again, a person who was like outright saying this is green when it's pink, you know, not outright lies, but just distortions. Enough to make you question what's real, you know. And so I was reading a bit of Zen Master Bankei's wisdom and love Bankei. And there was a conversation he was having with someone who came to him for guidance. And this teaching really resonated with me. And I felt that it was related to honesty. So I'll just share the story. So a layman says to Bankei, "When I hear unexpected noises, such as the sound of a thunderclap, it sometimes startles me. I think it must be because my mind normally isn't really at ease. How can I keep myself from being startled no matter what happens?" And Bankei says, "When something startles you, it's best just to be startled. If you try to keep yourself from being startled, your mind becomes too." And what this means to me is that when you're trying to avoid feeling something, like in this case, the man is trying to avoid being startled, it creates a division in the mind. There's a part of you that is startled, and there's the other part of you that's saying, don't be startled. And so those two feelings are constantly competing, and you're trying to suppress the true emotion. That creates the distortion. And to me, this is like someone who tells a lie or distorts the truth. There's suddenly that division between what they really feel and what they say or what they do. It creates this division in the mind, this distortion. And so from a higher Zen level, and the unicity of all. Zen Master Bankei taught of the unborn. So he's famous for saying that all things are perfectly resolved in the unborn. So the unborn is that which is prior to thought. It is the original source, the emptiness, infinity, the truest nature of all things, pure awareness. And when Zen Master Bankei talked about the unborn, he taught that it is perfectly reflective. So the unborn reflects whatever arises. So if a thought arises, the unborn transforms into that thought, into the belief. And to maintain true satori, true enlightenment, one is to just remain as that unborn, to not transform into anything. This is completely non-dual. It's the one-pointed truth. It is true authenticity. There's no distortion when one remains as that unborn. That's why the greatest teachers always say that the greatest teaching is silence. Because our true nature is silence. So any words, any teachings, any sounds are a deviation from what we truly are. But we try to use this language, these sounds, to point at the truth, at truth. And so when we have any distortion within us, we are not being effective in mirroring our truest nature. And so it's felt by others in this personal experience. We know what authenticity feels like. The distortion feels, again, like confusion. We're not quite sure. But truth makes you sure. It's clear. And the more that we are that we are truth, that we're honest, the more we recognize it in others, or we recognize when it's not happening in others. And that is their own journey. It's not necessarily for us to try to change others, but certainly for children, it's an opportunity for us to teach and to mirror those teachings. Amongst adults as well. I mean, people learn through experience. Seeing how we live our lives and our beliefs, our truth is shown in the way that we move through this phenomenal reality. And I find that I'm challenged as well to remain as this unborn in all aspects of life, to know what it is one thing, to be it is the highest practice, one that I'm still navigating through, I think. Always a student of Zen. But the masters are giving us pointers, and even a children's story can be very instructive. It can remind us to catch ourselves if we're moving into a place where we might be saying something or doing something that's not quite a reflection of truth. we can see that maybe we're feeling we're going to have some short-term gain. But just remember that in the long run, the truth will carry you farther. Eventually, I feel, deception is always rooted out and revealed. Honesty stands the test of time. And that is its own reward. Not being split, not trying to keep track of things that you said but didn't mean. To be perfectly reflecting truth and love and kindness, all of the beautiful things that we want to be and want to experience. That is our great opportunity. That is freedom. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.